Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're talking everything NFL with our special guest. To be more specific, we'll get into the intricacies of the game, plus discuss a new rule coming in 2019 that allows coaches to challenge pass interference calls. We'll also get to some current NFL news, plus talk about our guest's amazing career in officiating. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest, and by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. It's now time for our special guest. He began his officiating career in the early 1990s, starting as an intern with the NFL before becoming a full-time employee by 1995. Just 4 years later, he would go on to lead the league's use of instant replay in games, while also serving as a replay official for two Super Bowls. After a brief stint as the head of his own officiating clinic, he returned to the NFL in 2012 as the director of officiating, before being named the vice president of officiating in 2013. Today, he's a rules analyst for both the NFL and college football on Fox Sports and the director of instant replay for NCAA football. Please welcome Dean Blandino to the show. Dean, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
I'm doing really well. Thanks, John, for having me.
Well, Dean, let's start today with the shocking news that broke this past weekend involving Andrew Luck and his retirement from the game at the age of 29. Now, obviously, the main cause of all of this was consistent injuries. I mean, he had to overcome multiple concussions, a leg problem, and not to mention the fact that he missed an entire season due to a shoulder issue. Putting that aside, though, what was your initial reaction to Luck calling it quits, and do you think he made the right decision in walking away from the game?
Yeah, well, you know, I think like a lot of people, I was surprised. I didn't know, you know, obviously Andrew had been, you know, dealing with some injuries and had been rehabbing. And, you know, no one knows, you know, we can all sit here and speculate about what, you know, what our opinion is on him retiring. But no one, you know, no one knows what he's going through than, you know, other than himself. And I think if that's the best decision, you know, obviously it's a big decision. I'm sure it was a very difficult decision for him. And if he feels that that's the right decision for him and his life and his family and what he wants to do, then, you know, I think then that he made the right decision. And obviously I was surprised because he's, you know, been such a great player. And you know, there was a lot of optimism about the Colts and the team that they put together. And obviously with him at quarterback you know, I was a little, you know, from a personal standpoint, just being selfish, I would love to see him play. And because, you know, it's good for the game to have players like that. But again, I feel like if that's the decision that he wants to make for his life, I think he made the right decision.
You know, as you alluded to there, something that I think has become almost more relevant than the story itself are all of the takes, both good and bad, surrounding the news. I mean, we've seen people like Doug Gottlieb criticize Luck for retiring early, calling it, quote, the most millennial thing ever. Colts fans, meanwhile, booed Luck during a preseason game when they found out about the news. Yet there are some in the sports media world who have jumped to Luck's defense about the decision. Have all of these different opinions overshadowed the true significance of his retirement?
I think so, and I think it's unfortunate because today in the world we're in, it's about, you know, everybody has an opinion and there's this hot takes and things like that. And again, I think we're, like you said, the real, you know, issue here is that we're not going to get to see him play anymore. And that's disappointing. And I get it from at least an initial reaction. Look, Colts fans, NFL fans are passionate. And in the moment, was it the right thing to do to boo? Absolutely not, because this guy poured his heart and soul into the game and for the organization. But in the moment, we're all human, and we all have those reactions. And so I certainly can't sit here and say, you know, those Colts fans are horrible people because they booed. It's they want to see him play, and they want to see their team do well. So it's an initial reaction. You know, the other thing, though, you know, when people do have time to think about it, and then they still go out and make, you know, make these comments, no one is in Andrew's shoes. We can't sit here and say what's right for him. He has to make those decisions just like everybody else does. And I'm certainly fully supportive, you know, of him making those decisions. And I wish him the best in whatever he does going forward.
Dean Blandino here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Dean, Luck's retirement isn't the only change that we'll be seeing in the NFL this season, as now from a rules standpoint, coaches will have the option to challenge pass interference calls beginning in 2019. This is, of course, a revolutionary new rule. I mean, it gives coaches, in a sense, a chance to challenge a referee's judgment. How do you see this affecting the game this season, and what's the story behind it coming to fruition?
Well, I think the story, to go to the second question first, I think the story is the play from the NFC Championship game. And if that play doesn't happen, I don't think we have this rule. So I think that's how it came to fruition. And now I think we've seen 4 weeks of the preseason. And again, preseason is not a direct correlation as to what's going to happen in the regular season, because there's too many differences. The camera coverage is different. The players, you're not getting the starters for the entire preseason. So I think the level of play is absolutely going to ratchet up. The coverage is going to be better. But again, I think what we've seen, at least in this small sample size in the preseason, is that the calls that are made on the field, it's going to be rare where one of those calls gets reversed, where we pick up a flag and replay. I think the standard to change a call that's made on the field is very high, and that's the right standard. Okay, it should be clear and obvious that the call is incorrect for replay to pick up that flag. I think ultimately what this rule will do, whether you agree with it or not, I think we're going to create fouls in replay that weren't called on the field. And there were a handful, at least going into last night's game, there were six that were created in replay. And so the goal is to fix the obvious error. I think this should do that. I don't think this is going to make the call any more consistent as it's made on the field. It's still a judgment call. It still happens quickly. You have different officiating crews and different officials who are judging it. But again, I think at a bottom, you know, a basic foundation, I think we'll avoid the type of obvious mistake that occurred last year with this rule.
You know, I'm not an NFL historian by any means, but this seems like the first time in a while where one specific play or one critical moment in a game results in a major rules change across the board. Would you agree with that assessment, the fact that the missed PI call in the Saints-Rams game last year led to such a drastic change in the NFL?
Yeah, like I said earlier, this rule is not in place if that play doesn't happen, or even if that play happens in the first quarter. And I would go so far to say if the Saints win the game, I don't know if this rule passes. I think the conversations that took place at the league meeting were probably bigger picture conversations, at least amongst the coaches, that they were exploring the concept of a video official that could fix an obvious error in any situation, not just pass interference. Now, the committee narrowed it down and limited it to pass interference. So again, I do think that the rule was changed. Certainly the driver was that one play. I've never been a proponent of that in terms of one play being the impetus to change a rule and make a significant change. But again, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see, hopefully, that the rule is administered consistently, and it'll be a positive versus being something that negatively impacts the game.
Now, another important change that we'll see to the game this season is an increased emphasis on offensive holding penalties. According to the NFL, quote, offensive holding will be more strictly enforced, particularly on the backside of the run play or line of scrimmage. So it seems like from the wording here that this could suppress some running plays and encourage offenses to turn towards passing the football. How will this change affect the game here in 2019?
You know, I don't think it's going to drastically change the game. I think we did see a lot of holding calls in the preseason, and that's not unusual to have more penalties in the preseason because, again, you're trying to set a bar. You're trying to, you know, at least initially let the teams know where that standard's going to be. You also have, you know, different levels of players. And certainly, you know, when you get to the third team and fourth team players, the level of ability isn't as good. But I think this is a concept that has gone. This is not a new concept. Officiating philosophy years ago, you didn't worry about a hold that occurred on the backside. If the run was a sweep to the left and the receiver on the right side of the formation held, that didn't have an impact on the play, so you didn't call that. You focused more on the point of attack. I think what we're seeing in recent years is more of a technique that's occurring on the backside, where a tackle is really just wrapping up, taking his arms and dropping them over the shoulders of the defender, and immediately controlling the defender and wrapping him up. And I think that's where the focus is going to be. That if you use that technique, it's going to be a foul, regardless of where the run ends up, you know, whether it's at the point of attack or on the backside. And with a lot of these blocking schemes as well, whether it's a zone blocking scheme, you do get, you know, there is multiple points of attack because you have the cutback potential by the runner. So I don't think teams adjust, coaches adjust. So I don't think this is going to be a drastic, have a drastic impact. As long as the league is consistent in terms of calling those fouls.
Moving now to your career in officiating, as I mentioned in your bio, you got your start in the early 1990s as an intern with the league before becoming a full-time employee and then the leader behind the rollout of in-game instant replay. How did you make such a meteoric rise through the ranks early on and now become a well-known analyst across the country?
Well, you know, going back, I appreciate you using the word meteoric, but it didn't feel meteoric when I was going through it. Started as an intern. I didn't have a background in officiating. It wasn't something that I was necessarily interested in, but I loved football. I played football and other sports my entire life and learned about officiating during that internship and was surrounded by a lot of great people that took an interest in my career and helped me along the way and taught me about officiating. And really the key moment for me was in 1998, when the league really started to get serious about bringing replay back. They had had a system previously in 1986 through 91. I wasn't at the league at that time, but in 98, there were some high profile plays that started the conversation up again on a serious note. And I got heavily involved. I had a background in video and obviously was learning the rules along the way and got heavily involved in implementing the system, both from a rules standpoint and from a hardware and software, the technology part of it. And I became a replay official. And that was kind of the key moment in my career. And I went from there.
And, you know, what I find interesting about your current job today is the fact that 10 years ago, it didn't even exist. I mean, watching football games as a kid, there was never anyone who would come on and explain a certain call or give some insight on a questionable play. What you do, I think, is make the NFL's fan base more knowledgeable. And in this day and age, with information becoming so easy to access, everyone wants to be informed and understand what's going on. Is that your objective as a rules analyst on Fox, to accurately provide this inside information and allow fans to better understand the game?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The role is to explain, you know, I always look at it as I'm trying to explain the process. I'm trying to explain the rules involved. Here's what the officials are looking for. Here's what the replay official is looking for. Trying to give the fan more context versus just saying, I think this is going to be an incomplete pass, or I think that's a fumble. What are they looking for? What goes into that decision? What is the process like? You know, what is the communication like? And then obviously you're going to give your opinion, but again, the opinion is a small part of it. It's really explaining what goes into the decision, and if we can give the viewer a little bit of background, a little bit of context, and educate, that's really the goal.
Just out of curiosity, would you ever be open to returning to the NFL in an officiating capacity? I mean, you were the director of officiating and eventually the vice president of it. Do you see yourself going back to work for the NFL someday?
Well, I'm very happy with what I'm doing with Fox. It's been a I've always been someone that I like new experiences. I like to expand my bandwidth and learn about different things. And this has allowed me to learn about the TV and the network side of sports and of football. I have a great relationship with my former colleagues at the NFL, and certainly there's good lines of communication. But right now, I'm very happy what I'm doing.
And finally, Dean, before we let you go today, let's go back to 2005, where at the time you were still working with the NFL, but also decided to pursue a stand-up comedy career. I'm curious, how did it end up going? Are you still active today? And what was some of your best material?
Well, yeah, that was something that I was actually doing it earlier than that. It was a friend of mine that worked at the NFL, and she had been doing some acting and some stand-up and thought that I would be good at it. And I eventually got up the courage after a couple of you know, weeks where she was kind of pushing me and did it and loved it. And it was never a career dream of mine to be a stand-up comic, but I really enjoyed getting up there with your imagination and just talking to a lot of times just a group of strangers and having that connection. And it was just a lot of fun. Again, I never pursued it as a career. I always knew the NFL was going to be my career, or at least something involved in sports. But it really helped me in everything that I've done since then. If you can stand up in front of a group of strangers and entertain them for a little while, you can explain things to coaches and owners and general managers and fans and media, because you know, standing up there, it's a, especially when a joke doesn't go over well, that's a very lonely place. So everything else after that has been pretty easy.
Well, Dean, thank you so much for joining me here today. Great content, great conversation, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
What an honor it was to welcome Dean Blandino onto today's show as we talk with him about some current NFL news, some NFL rule changes in 2019, plus his amazing career in officiating. And by the way, if you enjoyed listening to Dean today, make sure to check out his new podcast entitled Good Calls with Dean Blandino. It's now available on the iHeartRadio app. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at JohnZSports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.